Okay, everybody, I think we have a forum now. If anyone will take their seat, that'd be great.
Chair a little bit.
Everyone should have an agenda, all the board members and most of the public. I'm Reed Goroff, I'm the chair, by the way, for the public. Thank you so much for coming out. Great to have you here.
Yeah, this is a big crowd. Thank you.
New faces. I'd also like to thank, he's not here right now, he's outside on the phone call. This is the vice chair for arranging it here, so that we can actually move it around and get some new business in. Can we start the roll call, please? Clay Terrence?
Here.
Dave Allison? Jonathan Alexander? Yolanda Aguino, and I apologize for messing up people. Agano, thank you. Is Yolanda here?
No.
Chris Condon?
Chris is here.
Yes, I know, I saw him here. But he's not here. That's our problem. Okay, well, we're going to come back. Israel Fear?
Here.
Okay. Sharon Block?
Yeah.
Jan Goodman? Ian Johnson?
Here.
Rebecca Juarez? Is she here?
No.
No, okay. Tracy Larkin? Okay. Holly Lessa?
Here.
Sean Casey O'Brien here. Reza Poor? Reza? Margaret Prescott?
Here.
Okay. Leslie Redford?
Here.
Summer Reese? Is someone going to join us today? We know.
No.
Okay. Okay. Rico Ross?
Yes.
Okay. Jack Bennington?
Present.
Donna Warren? Steve Weatherwax?
He's around.
Chris.
Okay. Chris Condon?
Here.
Gabriel Woods? Ms. Woods, is she here today with us? Yamanaka?
I apologize.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
There you go, Yosh. Okay. Did I say Yash? I apologize. Okay, Yosh. Pardon me. And Lamont Nicky? Is Lamont here?
No.
Okay. So we have right now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We have achieved quorum.
Thank you so much. We have a lot to do on this agenda, and we've planned it in. We hope we can make it within the 3-hour period. If we don't, please forgive us, but we will make every effort to do so. There are openings for the nomination for the P&D delegates, and we should at least nominate those. And then we can do the actual election is when? What's the actual election for the January? The January meeting? Yeah. So anyone who wants to be nominated, please make themselves available. Or if you want to nominate somebody, please let us know who that person might be.
Publicly, privately, what?
The nomination for the PND? Does it have to be privately, you're saying?
Either way.
No, I'm asking.
No, publicly.
What you're doing.
Oh, well, you can write it down to the paper and ask me. You want to do that?
No, I'm asking if they can do it publicly.
Yes, we can make it public. There's no reason to.
Jonathan, okay, thank you, John.
Mr. Chair, point of information, yes, who are the nominations to be made?
The nominations are for we could either do it by just doing it publicly out loud at the same time, or you can email them to me. Yes,
the bylaws say
Nominations shall be given in writing to the recording secretary for the radio station local station board by December 31.
So it is very important that we at least be aware of that this meeting, because we have until the 31st to get the nomination.
And he will convey them to that person.
That's right, exactly. Does everyone have an agenda? All the board members have an agenda? We don't have enough for everybody, I don't think, but we tell them about already on your seat. I have a few more. Anyone else? Okay, we'd like to take a quick look at the agenda. Hopefully we can approve this very quickly and move on to the approval of the amendment after.
Point of information.
Yes, please.
I wish you would just say a little bit more about the donations. They're very, very important, especially at this stage in the life of the foundation. Who are the current donors in this station area? And how many delegates have been elected, either from the listeners or from the station?
Sure, more than happy to. I'll let one of the PNB members answer that. I saw that you had your hand up.
My hand up for the approval of the minutes.
Oh.
Many of these listeners are here as a result of emails I sent.
I'm sorry. I want everybody to be able to hear Ms. Bluff.
Many of these listeners are here as a result of emails I sent, and I told them that it would be time certain at 20 minutes after the start of the meeting. So I would like to move approval of these minutes, the letter of these minutes.
Well, if there are no objections, we can just approve them.
I object. I have one change in the minute.
Yes.
Item 8, I would move to change 55-hour maximum to 55 minutes maximum.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Okay. If there are no other objections, there are always objections. Are there any other objections?
I move to approve.
Any none? They'll approve. Would you like to speak on the PNB?
I would like to suggest that that during the PNB item number 5, that's the issue that Bernie raised.
Okay. We are going to be doing a report on the PNB, and at that time, we'll get that clear, if that's okay. Have you had a chance to look at the minutes as well? They were sitting there beforehand, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Oh, really?
No, they weren't.
So is that the 3 of 11 that we're looking at? Or?
I thought I
introduced
a motion to delay the approval of the minutes.
I thought you were making a motion to delay the agenda. It was the minutes.
No.
Okay, a motion is on the floor to delay the approval of the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Has been seconded. Are there any objections? Seeing none, we'll continue on. Thank you so much. On to item 4.
Excuse me. Notice there are chairs in the corner, and those of you who don't have chairs, just walk over. Pull up a chair. There's plenty of chairs over there if you want them.
We have a couple of excused absentees. One of Ms. Jan Whitman, who is taking her mother to the hospital, and another of Ms. Summer Reed, who is working today. Are there any objections to those excuse absences? Seeing none. Okay. Also, I'd like to announce that the women's restrooms are over here, and the men's restrooms are over here. You have to use them. Moving on to the next item. Item the election. Right. Who can take this motion?
A motion
is made to approve the agenda as amended. Any objection? Seeing none. Motion passes. Okay, now we're on item 4, election of officers. Mr. Van Aken, do you move that?
The governance committee met on, I think, Tuesday, and we are recommending that the election of officers be postponed until the January meeting.
In part so that we can have cards on air for the positions of secretary and treasurer, which are open to non-LSP members. So that's our recommendation to the LSP. So that's a motion.
Okay. So a motion is on the floor to postpone till next month the election of the new position. That has been seconded. All those in favor? Thirteen opposed. One abstention. One. Motion passes. Next item. That was quick. Item five. CMB report. Okay. Who's going to hit that one?
CMB.
Well, the item.
I asked this to be a one-hour item. Because there are several concerns that many of us have that have to do with the fact that the PMB is moving forward on very serious issues without consultation with the LSPs and in turn our consultation with the listeners, which is why so many listeners are here today. And I think if we could just get a very quick rundown of where we stand on the loan, the information I personally received from a member of the PMB, not one of our own delegates, is that an application has been filed. So I would like that verified, and I would like this to be an open discussion. I'd like it to be a discussion with the committee as a whole, including what's their comments on the whole issue of the loan and toxic uses and accountability of the PMB.
Point of information, why does it have to be a meeting of the whole? We have four.
Pardon?
Why does it have to be a meeting of the whole?
That means we have discussion before motions get introduced. No?
Okay.
Okay.
I would like to, at this point, respond to Bernie's question earlier, which is relevant, namely, who are our delegates? How many are there? So to outline briefly the nature of it, which I could do it, but someone else could do it. Should be done before we go into the discussion.
Why don't the PMB members?
We have our four PMB members.
I would also like, one of the PMB, please address this. And also, the phone is going off. Can everybody please turn your phone and vibrate or turn it off at this time, please? one of the PMB members would like to address the issue on the floor now.
Yeah, I'll try to address the issue. Basically, the PMB, there are four directors elected in January of every year by the delegates. It's the LSP, everyone on the LSP, excluding the general manager. Presently, there are four members. I'm one. Jack Carnegie is another. Great parent, Margaret Prescott, is the fourth. Margaret is the staff PMB delegate. There's one staff delegate and three listener member delegates. And we serve for 1 year. I guess that's it unless someone else.
Okay, that's great. Now, I would like someone, I think this is what Ms. Gluck was saying, to help. So maybe everyone hasn't read, don't have access to a computer, hasn't read all the links that we've been talking about this long. Maybe someone can concisely bring the public up to step with what's been happening in a very concise manner. Anything one would
do?
The stage that we find ourselves in right now, probably to understand, you have to go back to the time of the take-back, 2001, 2002, when we had a $5 million debt that we paid down. With this new governance structure, new organizational structure, we had a tremendous windfall, which was the run-up to the Iraq War. KPFK certainly drew in a very large revenue stream.
One second, please. Can I get a timekeeper?
I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. I need a timekeeper.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have a 3-hour agenda and probably a 4-hour worth of talking.
You dragged your butt during the beginning part of it.
Sir, you're out of order, and this is causing more time. Can I get a timekeeper? Anybody, please? Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. He needs it would be nice if he had access to an agenda as well. People that are talking get 90 seconds when they ask a question. Thank you. That's great. And but Mr. Van Aken is making is bringing up clear that he gets more time than that. This whole item is going to be 50 minutes, we hope. So that's what I want to at least get. A time start. So it's going to be 50 minutes for the entire item to discuss this issue. Please continue. Thank you so much.
Would
you like to come up here, sir? Set up near here?
We put it down.
Yes, sir.
How long is these countries? Yeah.
It'll be 90 seconds.
Thank you.
But he's actually going to go longer because he's trying to explain.
He's
giving us a report. I know you did. Thank you so much. And thank you for your patience. Yes.
One information. Sherman made a request that the not just the board committee on this issue, but then we all are able to. Is that agreed to by the board?
It is. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It definitely is. We have you all here. We're happy to have you here. Of course, we want your opinion. We want your input. Thank you, Mr. Bank.
As long as now I have a lot of time, I'd like to welcome the listeners. Thank you very much for coming. It is really heartening to see the kind of interest. This is under better circumstances. The run up to the Iraq war brought a tremendous inflow of funds into KPFK and the network generally. Not every station benefited, but we certainly did, and the Pacifica Foundation seemed to be on fairly firm financial footing. Following that period of the Iraq war, the stations, all five stations, but I don't want to pick on the archives, I'll just say all units, got a little bit comfortable, in my view, with that sense of prosperity, and they started adding a little bit here and there, staff positions, started spending a little bit more. There were a number of projects that, were probably good projects that all added to our expenses. But the when you look at the budget, the expense line that really went up the most, and that was the biggest standout, the rising expense was salaries and related. This started to create a problem as listeners' support started to decline shortly after that run-up to the Iraq war. At first, it wasn't very noticeable. It was slight, and it could have been seen as an aberration at the time. So over those periods of 2005, 6, and 7, the stations were supposed to be keeping surpluses in anticipation of a possible bad fund drive. At one time, KPFK had a substantial surplus. I'm not sure of the dollar amount. It seemed like an adequate surplus. Every year at budget time, our governance structure doesn't really act like the Schwarzenegger administration. We like to spend on things. We don't like to cut things. That's my analysis. So spending levels started to encroach into those surpluses until by last year, we didn't really realistically have a surplus. We had budgeted a small surplus, which wasn't adequate, and reality caught up with us. Those are like two lines crossing, where you have rising expenses and declining revenues. This happened, I always thought it might happen at one station, and then we'd have to solve that problem. It really happened network-wide. It's more complex than this. I'm simplifying it in order to create a narrative, but this is the way I understand what has happened. So in March of this year, I started hearing that we were hemorrhaging money as we were planning for the April Pacifica National Board meeting. There was a great concern that funds were becoming difficult to locate internally for our operational expenses. KPFK stopped paying its central services fee.
Every station pays approximately 18-19% into the national office. It goes for things like Democracy Now!, governance expenses, which are sizable because of our elected governance, which costs about $200,000 a year. So there began to be a very apparent cash flow problem. The problem was the cash wasn't there. By the summer, we had hired a new executive director, a very dynamic person, very energetic, presented some scenarios to get out of this situation. There were discussions, all of which were in closed session. What I think I can say is that the entire reorganizational plan was being worked out in closed session, not in open session, because there were individual positions that would ultimately need to be eliminated, and to discuss those in open session would not be appropriate. The board, the national board, is very slow to act. I'd hoped that we would be resolving, settling out a plan in July. It didn't happen until September in open session at the Washington, D.C. Pacific and National Board meeting. It involved very substantial layoffs. The national office has been reduced to a bare-bones functioning capability.
Can you clarify how many staffers were removed out of the national office and how many they have support?
Well, there's been also some attrition. So it could be from 6 to 8 to 9, depending on how you count it. We lost the controller and didn't replace. We lost an HR director and didn't replace. We've lost an executive director and haven't replaced. On top of that, I think there are about 6 full-time equivalents, maybe 5. But there's not a lot of staff there. But anyway, if you can hold up, I think there'll be time for questions, and I don't want to take up any more time than necessary. Part of the reorganizational plan involved two components to solve the cash flow problem. One was to take out a line of credit for $300,000 against the KPFA CD, which they had, collateralizing $400,000 to borrow $300,000. The other part was to take out $1 million loan. The line of credit, I'm not sure when exactly we received that. It might have been August, and it was gone pretty quick. There are a lot of back pay bills, vendors bills, Democracy Now!, etc. I think maybe Free Speech Radio News is on that list. The other part was to take out $1 million loan. And for the majority of that discussion, the KPFA property was always discussed as the item that would be collateralized against the loan for a variety of reasons. On November 9th, the National Board discussed the loan, the loan application, approved moving ahead with the loan application, but it had been changed to the KPFK building. This was an open teleconference. That motion carried, which was only for a loan application. The next day, KPFK had a finance committee meeting at the station. A number of staff, board members were present. Grace Aaron and I were present, and other LSP members. And Grace announced the loan that would collateralize the KPFK building. So I really take objection to the idea that there hasn't been accountability. The day after this became public, it came to the Finance Committee, and the day after that, we came to the LSD and talked about it. And then we held a special meeting the day after that. So this is how we got to where we are now.
Thank you so much. As a courtesy, I'd like to, any other members of the P&B would like to add to that. I know that Respecta has to leave early. And she's asked to be on the set, and then Ian also is on the set.
Just one point.
Okay, Ms. Preston.
Yeah, I'd like to welcome all the listeners. Very good to see all of you, and to apologize for having to leave early for such a vital discussion. It would not happen for a very vital cause. I've got an interview with Mumia Abu-Jamal at 3 at the station. As you know, he rarely grants interviews. He does commentary. But he rarely grants interviews. I think this is the second that we have gotten. He was not able to change it. He's calling from death row, and there was basically nothing I can do. His case is very much on the line right now. His life is on the line right now at the Supreme Court. Will be deliberating whether or not to hear his case. So I have to leave in a few minutes to get down to do what I'm in KPFK to do, which is radio. And as a community activist, to make sure that voices like Lamia and support for his case get on the air.
When will it
on
air?
The question,
when will it air, the interview?
The interview will likely air, depending on how much, the editing process, and as you know, our staff is so overwhelmed. But I'm hoping that it will air on Tuesday, but we'll certainly get an email out, and hopefully the station will help to publicize it and look to the website for that. But on the issue of the loan, I just want to say a few things very, very quickly. That the figures that we were given on the LSB, on the PNB, we were certainly all led to believe that this loan was absolutely necessary in order to pay back bills and for the foundation not to go bankrupt and to move forward. Looking at the discussion that has happened since that time, I have a few concerns. One is that the Nicole Sawaya, who was the former executive director who left for a number of reasons, strongly opposed the KPFK building being used as collateral. She made the case that it made no sense, that if any building was, if the loan had to move, she believed the loan had to move forward, that the KPFA building was in the best position to be used because of some environmental standards or whatever. I can't remember the details of it. So it was really a bit of a shock, and I was not, I missed the meeting where this was discussed on the national board level. It was a bit of a shock to then find that the loan agreement was moving forward with the KPFK building as collateral. I'm opposed to the KPFK building being used as collateral. I don't even know where that came from. And I've asked various people, how did it happen that the understanding was KPFA, but suddenly on the loan documents you see KPFK, and I haven't really received an explanation to any satisfaction. The second area that I'm concerned about with this loan, and talking with Efren, who is a financial person at KPFK, who doesn't believe the loan is necessary, but also I became very alarmed when on the national level the board is considering spending huge chunks of money to hire an outside consultant, to hire people to come in to work on programming, I mean to the tune of $100,000 for one thing, $50,000, $30,000, and I began thinking, well, wait a minute, we were being told that this loan is specifically because we're in such dire straits we're going to go bankrupt, so why are we now voting as early as tomorrow on a PNB meeting on hiring an expensive consultant firm? That set off a long to me that maybe we don't need the bloody money, okay? That maybe, because we don't need a spending spree. This is listeners' money. We have to be respectful of our listeners' money. So I am deeply concerned at this point about this whole loan process, frankly speaking, and certainly about the need for the KPFK building to be used as collateral, but furthermore, that if there is any kind of loan, that it be used to pay the debt that we need to pay, without really going on the kind of spending spree that is being proposed. The last thing I wanted to say, which is not related specifically to the loan, but I won't be here, and I feel I must say something about this right now, is that language slipped into a motion on programming that the PNB has to consider develop language on underwriting. This has set off a long bell to me. They didn't say that we vote for underwriting. They said we have to vote, we have to develop a policy on underwriting. Now, Pacifica has always been distinguished by our lack of underwriting. I do a lot of pitching during the fund drive, and one of the cases that we make, that unlike PBS and other stations, NPR, that we don't take underwriting. I think this is a set off alarm bell for me. I think it's a dangerous direction, and I would hope that, any such thing would be nipped in the bud. The last point that I want to make is I think that we really have to look. Jack is right in terms of how far back this goes, but I think we also have to look at our governance process and how we go about our governance process. I am very frustrated right now with the governance process. I think money has gotten into this election. I think it has our governance process. I think it's corrupted all sides of the aisle. I'm not pointing the finger at one faction or another. And it's not only KPFK, but it is, it runs throughout.
We're going to have to move on to the next...
I have a question for the moderator before she leaves.
Okay, please. All right. Please.
Okay. Two questions. What is the name of the consultant firm or numbers of consultant firms? You know?
Anybody? What is the consultant firm?
Question.
Well, it's a candidate only, but Flick and Gutierrez.
Have they already signed a contract with it?
No.
Okay. What's the name again?
Flick and Gutierrez.
Flick and Gutierrez. The other question is I'll ask it later.
Okay. Well, is your question particular to Mark before she leaves?
Yes,
Prescott, please.
Yes. Margaret, you know, Jack knows and insisted that this process has been transparent. Jack knows and insisted this process has been transparent. I don't see it. I can't even determine from the records I'm able to see publicly how much we're talking about for a loan. I hear $1 million. I hear $1.7 million. Nor do I have any idea of the objective market value of a KPFK building, which I imagine is far beyond $1 million. Just as when we were given all this nonsense about selling VAI, nobody was talking about the fact that that license was worth $250 million. They were to get a loan for $1 million. And so what is this building worth, and what kind of mortgage are they talking about? I know they're about 30 years, but is it $1 million? Is it $1.7 million? And is there any indication where that money is going? Any indication of how it can be paid back?
I don't know if Mr. Prescott has the answer to those questions, but I think that we may be able to give you some of the answers during the course of this discussion of this issue. She said she doesn't really know. But I'm saying what she doesn't know, I think you may be able to find that information as we continue.
I'd like answers to those questions myself, I think. And also the value of the KPFA property.
Yeah, that's
very
important for you.
Yeah.
Martin, do you have the answer to those questions?
No, I don't have it.
Oh, right. That's what I thought. I thought she just said she would
have the other question.
Yeah.
Well, this is for Margaret before she goes, especially because she's on the candy.
Please.
The question of transparency is not what is currently happening, not how much is this worth or how much are we applying a loan for. The question is, how do we get into this situation, and why, at the last minute, does some group of people come to the PNB and threaten bankruptcy and force you to make some kind of a move without any information about how we got into this mess, any plan for changing the situation that got us into this mess? You know, it's the same thing that's going on with the auto companies now in the nation. That's what the Senate is now insisting on, a plan, not only how did you get there, what are you going to do to fix it? Yeah, how did you people get stampeded into a vote like that without information about how this occurred?
And yeah. I didn't bring it to
the I'll have to give a quick comment that I really am going to have to run. I wasn't at the meeting voting on that loan. If not, I would have not supported it simply because the KPFK building, because of the concerns about the KPFK building. I tell you, all of my time on the PNB, it's been very, very difficult to really get a handle on the financial situation. I'm just being straight up with you now. It was really very fuzzy, exactly what the hell's going on. And I think that to her advantage, given all of the weaknesses that the executive director who left, you know, whatever comments people might have about her, I found that it was during her tenure that I really began to get a sense of what was really happening with the book. What were the actual figures? What were the actual problem areas? But also pointing us in the direction of some solutions. So that's been a big problem. Just one other thing. The other thing that I think has been good that has been happening lately is that the general managers have now been having weekly meetings with the acting ED. And that never happened before. Who would believe this? It's absurd. You know, but really to begin to think like a network and function like a network. And from my understanding, those GMs, if not all of them, at least some of them, are very determined to be able to come up with some proposals around programming, around finances and other things that can help us right now, rather than us going and hiring some outside firm that can do the kind of work that perhaps that kind of talent
is. Thank you so much. Now, one of the things that I know a lot of you have questions questions, but I think during the course of this, some of these questions are going to be answered, and if they're not, then we'll take on further questions. I'd like to hear from, as I said before, a couple of other PNB members to pitch in, and then after that, first on the list is Mr. Johnson.
I just wanted to respond to something he was saying.
Okay, please do that.
Yeah, Chad. First off, I concur with a lot of Jack's analysis, but one thing I don't think he got into was the fact that from 2000 to 2004, our audience was going up on an angle like this, whereas the CPB projects us on something slightly above, you know, a neutral platform. So we've just got to be doing slightly better. And since 2004, we have gone in the opposite direction. We are now losing audience. That is a problem, because when you try and raise money, then people aren't listening, they don't go to the phone, then the fund drives go long. The fund drives go long, and then what happens is people stop listening even more because the fund drives are going long. So we have a fundamental problem with our programming and things that are going on within the organization, particularly here at KPFK. I can't speak to all the other things. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out, that also the CFO is a separate position in the organization that controls the money, and he's been presiding over this growth in budgets and also with bonuses and things. It's been sort of left in a way that management, I believe, and staff has been sort of bribed to not pay attention to these kinds of things, so they've been getting bonuses. So it seems like the company's doing well.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Next, Mr. O'Brien, and then Ms. Love.
I want to thank all of you. It's great to see concerned citizens, particularly when it comes to this loan, which I think is a ridiculous idea because, as this gentleman pointed out, we're not even clear as to how much our building is really worth. I have a feeling it's worth much more than just a million.
And we're going to PNB members, that's one thing. If we're going to him, I'm not finished.
I'm on the staff.
Well, I'm on the staff.
Let's go back to I think the PNB member, Ms. Glove, let's go to Ms. Glove first.
There were no other
PNBs on the staff. So that's why I left the PNB.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Could we hear from the other PNB members, Grace and Yost?
Yes.
And then after that, I would suggest Dave, since he was PNB, and so we get a background a little bit.
Exactly. Yamanaka has spoken already, but would you like to speak again?
Sure, I will speak.
And also then we'll hear from Ms. Aaron over here, which is what I asked in the beginning, and then we'll go on to the regular staff.
I'll briefly speak, and I'll address some of Jack Van Aken's comments, and I concur that Nicole Sawaya was talking about the Berkeley property and not the North Hollywood property. Part of it was that I believe that there's not been an environmental report done in North Hollywood on our property, whereas Berkeley, when she was discussing the loan with Wells Fargo, they were very familiar with the Berkeley property, and so it would have been a much simpler, easier process to just put up the Berkeley property, get the loan, and you're finished. However, sometimes, very late in the game, it switched from Berkeley over to KPFK. And that, I believe, was what is much of the cause of concern for lack of transparency.
Thank you. Ms.
Aaron? Okay. I'd like to elucidate some of the situation. I'm the only person here on the National Finance Committee of Citizens. Summer Reese, our treasurer, is also on that committee, but she's unable to come today because she has to work. Part of what Jack is saying is correct. Part of it is incorrect. The first thing is there are two reasons to hold executive session, according to our Pacifica Council and other lawyers on the board, and Jack can probably elucidate that. I have chosen to respect the wishes of other members of the Pacifica National Board to hold executive session content to be confidential. The two reasons that I understand for confidentiality is one, when we are negotiating a contract of some sort, and two, when there are personnel issues that are being taken up. Now, in regard to the situation, financial situation of the city, we are right now not able to meet our bills. That is the situation. The National Finance Committee spent a huge amount of time working out budgets for the various stations and the National Office, Pacifica Archives, etc., for the foundation. The modus operandi of the Finance Committee, although I objected to it, was to concentrate on austerity measures. Most of the expenses of the foundation are fixed expenses except for payroll. The only thing that has flexibility is payroll. So that has meant, in the austerity measures, severe cuts of staff, network-wide. However, even with severe cuts of staff, in my estimation, we're not going to get out of the situation we're in without revenue increase. It's just the way it is. You look at the numbers, it's the way it is. Now, the stations are not equal. Across the network, network-wide, there has been declining net income. That's the graph of the net income decline over the last 4 or 5 years. Is directly proportional to the drop of listenership. It's an almost exact parallel graph. The station that's the weakest is WBAI. WBAI is in debt over $100,000 to the National Office. KTFK is in debt for approximately I think it's about $250,000 now to the National Office. Please, I need to have this information, Rico.
Okay.
I'm the only person on this board who is on the National Finance Committee.
Okay, how much more time do we have?
If you don't want to hear
it. No, we do want to hear it.
Well,
we have a half hour. Okay, so after Ms. Aaron speaks, we want to open up to the board, and at that point, if there's no objections, can we keep it down to 90 seconds each? At that point, thank you so much, please.
Okay. I personally, the loan application, the amount is for $1 million. I am completely dissatisfied with the loan application. It's not acceptable to me. I will not vote for the loan with the application as it is now. I don't know what our choices are in this situation. I disagree with Margaret. I feel that we have not proven that we can manage ourselves. The last 4 or 5 interim EDs or EDs have failed to straighten out our situation. We've had sinking net income for at least 4 or 5 years. We've gone through all of the reserves at the National Office. KPFK had $450,000 in reserves 4.5 years ago. All of those reserves have been depleted. 70% of our deficit at KPFK in fiscal year 2007 were directly or indirectly related to legal problems. Of our multi-year deficit, 40% are related to legal problems, not just decreasing net income. We have systemic problems in Pacifica, huge legal bills, revenue shortfalls, particularly at WBAI. KPFA does not have revenue shortfalls. KPFA is meeting its budget. And in fact, it has reserves. It's the only station with a certain amount of reserves. WPFW, we didn't need to worry about, but they're starting to think KPFT is sort of holding its own, but it's a little bit in the red lately. KPFK is starting to recover. WBAI has not been recovering. Much effort has been done to pressure management on the national level and on the local level at WBAI to more rapidly increase their listenership and take deeper austerity measures. Much urging has been done. We've gotten a lot of promises, but very little action. That station is losing a lot of money every month. It used to be covered by the National Office when the National Office has reserves. The National Office has no reserves left. That is the situation. I can give you other details.
Can you clarify one point that you just made? You mentioned lawsuits and the settlements for them financially. Can you at least, I know you can't say the amount, probably, but can you at least say the aggregate of this time period you're talking about, what percentage it is on the entire budget that you believe is now, in the red? How much money overall?
I don't have the exact figure, but
including legal expenses and the settlement amount.
Am I allowed to answer that question?
Please, please.
Okay, was he not recognized or not?
Yes, please, continue.
Yeah, okay. Our legal bills have been high.
No, I mean an amount.
Okay, I don't have it. I have it in my
computer. I hear that it's the third largest expense.
Yeah, given out. Approximately $5 million in the last 5 or so years. Dave might know exactly. Approximately $5 million of all sorts.
Okay, one paid out.
Let's get back on topic here. Thank you. I think he's answered what he thought it was. We don't have an exact figure, so we can't give you the exact figure.
Somebody does. Would that
Adelson know
as well?
Well, we're going to have them speaking, and maybe we can have that addressed for you.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, I just have a couple more points to make.
Please.
Relative to the question of underwriting that has come up from the National Programming Committee, there was a move afoot by certain people, I think in Houston or Washington, who thought that maybe, hey, we could just get these, you know, progressive, quote, liberal, quote, groups to give us money, and then we can balance our budget. That was what one group of people was trying to push forward. I know that Sherna and myself put forward an amendment which said, hey, before you do anything like that, let's have a policy on underwriting. And what the hopes were from us was that the policy would be that we don't do it. But there are, of course, other people elsewhere in the network who may have other opinions. And the point is, we're trying to include the listenership in this because there is, you know, stalemate and factionalism not only on this board but on the national board, and we need the listeners and the staff to be standing up and telling their representatives, hey, this is a good idea, that's not a good idea. Whatever you think is important. So that's one thing I wanted to bring up. Also, when it comes to legal bills, these are things you can't change. Once they're there, you have to pay them, right? We have to pay our lawyers whether we win or lose. We have to pay their lawyers sometimes whether we win or lose. Sometimes you have to settle because it makes more sense to settle than to keep fighting. Okay, so the point is that you can't choose which legal bills you want to pay. You can't blame everything on one or two people. The bottom line is we've been losing listenership, been building our salaries, and we haven't made the money to pay for it. So we have to figure out a new plan, and one plan would be to do some sort of network-wide fundraiser. Another plan would be to hire a consultancy firm who would make decisions that we're afraid to make ourselves.
Thank you so much.
So there are other ways to deal with this besides this loan.
Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, very quickly, I'd like to associate myself with the remarks of Grace over here. And I want to let you know that many of us are concerned about the excessive executive sessions that the people at the National Board love to indulge in. Much of this should have been discussed in open session.
Right.
Every business deal we talk about should be in open session. We don't have to talk about the terms of the contract. We can talk about the general idea of is a loan good or not. And I want you to know many of us are concerned with the way that they use executive session to keep you and us out of the picture. Also, I have to totally disagree with my colleague, Margaret. One of the reasons that we need consultants, both financial and legal, is that right now the National Board appears to be run like a closed shop. We need a second opinion, an independent opinion, not from our CFO or our legal counsel, because they have various conflicts of interest and they may have caused some of these problems. That's why it's important that we do get a legal and financial second opinion. Also, we may not be able to talk over the specifics of cases, but we can talk about the aggregate numbers. How much have we lost in settlements in the aggregate? How much has our legal fees cost us? They are our third largest amount. And if we, there are allegedly 22 sexual harassment cases in the Pacifica network. Okay? Hold on.
It is time.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Ms. Gluck, you're next on the set.
Okay.
And then Mr. Adelson, you'll be next.
Okay. Following up on Ian and taking exception to the Jack taking exception. By accountability, I mean that our PMB delegates and every single PMB delegate should not be making any decision about serious issues like this
before bringing them to the LSC and the LSC going to the listener. And that's what we number one, I totally oppose underwriting, and the only way we could stop a motion that would not be going forward. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. He has the floor.
One of the things that has happened to the past since Dan Coughlin was the expansion of administrative staff. I don't agree with Steve Brown usually ever, but his figures that show the amount of administrative costs in Pacifica compared to other radio stations is appalling. I won't give money to organizations whose administrative costs are 30% of their budget.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to start looking. DMV is not taking responsibility. We don't need outside consultants. The DMV has to start taking responsibility for what their role should be. They have to start firing GMs if they don't come up with plans to deal with these issues. They have to start taking actions to get over their factionalism.
Thank you so much. Mr. Adelman?
Right here, I'm plugged in so I can get the rest of the audience to tell
you. Do you want me to have to come back to you?
No, I'd like
okay, please.
But I would need a little more time. I served on the CMB for 4 years. I was there for 2 years and on the finance committee for 3.5. And I have a very particular view about several of these things, but I couldn't explain it in 90 seconds. Should I have several minutes?
If there are no objections,
I object.
There's an objection?
I
object. Should we take a vote? We will take a vote if there is objection.
I'd like to hear historical
Someone wants to put a motion on the floor to a motion is on the floor for 5 minutes. 5 minutes for Mr. Adelman. Are there any objections? Seeing none, Mr. Adelman, please.
First of all, my experience at the PMB and the governance structure is that it was designed in such a way that it's very hard for the governance structure ever to take constructive action. It was formed through a process of proportional representation in which even pluralities can block action. So it's easy for anybody's interest to threaten to stop somebody from doing something, but it's very hard to take any constructive step to deal with a problem. That's a structural problem, which basically means that there's a profound inertia, but it also means that whoever is in a position to make a spending decision and act on it actually has most of the authority. And leaving aside what Ian made a good point, what your legal expenses are or what they are and you have to pay them, God willing they're one-off, but we keep having some of these same problems over and over again. But leaving the legal aside, if it's the third biggest expense, then we have other expenses that are bigger and they recur. And one of the things that happened when we, quote, got the network back, we saw a surge in income in part because a lot of people who had been withholding money started giving. So you had the existing audience plus the old audience giving money. An increase in revenue, and what everybody here probably knows is that each of the stations, everybody feels overworked all the time. So there was a move to, at most of the stations, increase staff. And then, once we got enough revenue, to renegotiate contracts to increase benefits because most of our staff are underpaid, okay? And so you have a staff commitment that is, you had the staff expansion. When I was on the National Finance Committee, first of all, we were fighting to get headcount on a regular basis. It was difficult, but basically you had the equivalent of, well, you had some stations, like ours, I think, at DAR, 42 people working between 30 and 40 full-time equivalents. And as their benefits and salary rise, as per union contracts where they're in place, you put more and more pressure on your budget. You also have a scattering of listenership, not only because maybe people are tired of certain kinds of programming and it's difficult to change programming at every station, it's always a war, but also moving to other forms of listening that we weren't aggressive in. You know, we weren't aggressive in taking advantage of other platforms. So, for example, I don't listen to KTFK for 2 hours a day that I used to listen. I don't listen when Democracy Now! Is on, and I don't listen when I'm listening to Democracy Now! On my MP3 player, because I can rewind it, pause it, skip, whatever. So those are key dynamics. Now, we saw the pressure coming on the revenue. It didn't just happen, and it wasn't that nobody was saying it. As a structural matter, we're saying, oh, our PMB has to be responsive to us, but in any given meeting where we're doing business, what do we have, 15 minutes usually, 20, to talk about things that are big deals? When I was on the PMB, I held a couple of special meetings
just to talk about pure PMD issues, and five people showed up, and we talked for 2 hours, and it still wasn't enough to cover it. But anyhow, so we saw this coming wave, the revenue going like this slowly, and the staff costs going like this, ineluctably. But the problem is, for example, DAI, to reduce staff, you trigger severance agreements. So it always costs more to reduce staff. And nobody wants to anyway, right? Who wants to have anybody who's devoted themselves to working for less pay than they deserve, doing difficult work to serve the station? Who wants to lay those people off? And it's a political fight anyway. So you have to have, you know, these managers are always at the center of some political storm, typically between two loosely organized factions, and that's reflected on the national board. So everybody's in a paralytic state, but your costs go up and your revenues go down slowly. So that's what we're dealing with, and it's not simple. But we passed a motion at the LSD level, speaking of accountability, to ask our directors, when any motion concerning a loan came up, to place conditions on it. The conditions being, you have to show us a plan for how the money is going to be used and repaid, and any staff cuts that are required to make the situation sustainable have to be done before you take the loan. And the reason I put that in the motion was my experience was constantly that you could never get a staff reduction, or you'd always get the minimal staff reduction, so you never get ahead of the curve, and it's never done in the context of a larger plan, because how staff, paid staff, is going to be used, 1 minute, how paid staff is going to be used to increase service so you can increase revenue, right? It was always just an ad hoc rolling process that I don't believe was anybody's fault per se, but there were these structural things that make it impossible to do good problem solving, and one of the core ones is a governance structure that allows people who literally despise each other as they interact more and more to have to come together on a common plan, which almost never happens. But I think Grace will tell you now, when key votes come up, there's going to be a one-vote margin, one way or the other, and the factions tend to be organized not even so much around philosophical points as around, like, who's going to be able to get what power over the next time. Okay, I'll leave it there.
Thanks so much.
Your number.
Next on the stack, first of all, I'd like to say, I know a lot of you guys have questions. I've got a stack that I'm writing down for you right now. If you do have a question, you put your hand up. I've got your hand up, I've got your hand up. I've got Lady in Pink, I've got Mr. Riaz. I don't have this gentleman here. What's your name, sir?
Sean.
Okay, Sean. That's right, Sean. Okay, and what we'll try and do now, and this lady over here.
Cindy.
And the timekeeper. And the
timekeeper
wants to be. And the gentleman in the back. Okay. Okay, and Mr. Foyer. Now what I am proposing to do is to hear a little bit more from the board, hoping they will answer some of those questions. If your questions are answered, then you don't have to take the time. If your questions are not, then of course you'll be asked.
Mr. Chair, one thing.
Right.
Just on that motion we passed, I'd like to hear what happened to the motion we passed asking our directors to attach conditions to any motion regarding the loan.
Isn't there a motion? Are you talking about item 6? The motion?
We passed the motion. Said, PMD directors, we want you to bring this forward. I'd like to know what happened.
Does anybody can anybody reply to that? Mr. Van Aken?
No one from the PMD brought forward. No one
directors. Excuse me. Was there a motion regarding the loan that has been brought forward between our passage of that and now? Was there a motion considered at the PMD level to which that motion should have applied?
I'm not sure. I think
the application.
Yeah.